Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Good to have you back. My name's Marcus, of course. Pete's here as well.
Konbanwa.
And Luke.
All right.
And what a thrilling three it is, because Jim is not here, I'm afraid. He's up in Edinburgh at the festival doing some lols, hopefully. So we're a man down, but we're still going to go for the win. We're not going to shut up shop here. Right then, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with a little question. Now, you all saw the Community Shield, didn't you?
Yeah, Manchester United are now champions of the community.
They are. And we need community.
Yeah.
Their second goal caught the eye. What a goal it was. It was like what Barcelona did to them in the Champions League final, etc.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you, if you could score a fantasy goal, I mean, that's a question in itself, yeah. But if you could score a fantasy goal with a move like that, a team goal, with any player from any era in football, what would it be? How would it pan out? Luke.
I'm first, am I?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think that what I would probably do is I would start off bringing it out from the back with Higuita. Right?
Oh yes.
Now you like this.
That's Higuita, a great start.
Higuita exercises his demons by going around Roger Mia. Right? Yeah? He lays it off to Big Sol, who goes on one of his trademark bursts. Up the pitch.
I did not see Sol Campbell being involved here.
How many men does he beat? Tell me.
About four or five.
Yeah, he will do.
Point, he's almost losing the ball.
Yeah.
But he just gets a touch ahead of him.
Yeah.
He gives it to Prozanecki,
yep,
who just controls it, lays it off to Zidane.
I knew Prozanecki would be in there.
Without even running.
Yep,
Zidane does one of those drag backs.
Yep.
Pops it out wide to Dybeck, who puts in a trademark cross from the right onto Marcelo Salas's thigh, who then, without the ball touching the ground, volleys it in the top corner. Probably past Big Jens.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's my fantasy goal.
And then it bounces back out and Tony Yeboah volleys it back in
yeah,
again.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just be here waiting for the points. All right, you carry on.
that was a tale, wasn't it? It's like Roy of the Rovers.
Pete, what have you got?
PK out to Alves. Xavi picks it up. Iniesta back to PK. Busquets back to Iniesta. Messi, Villa. It's a goal, people.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Good.
Oh, okay. Well, what have I got?
I thought mine would have been too long if I hadn't, and it would have been littered with references to North East football.
Because you haven't seen mine, that's why.
Yeah, exactly.
Right then. Paluca.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
yeah,
beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah. He rolls it out. I had Big Sol down as well.
Did you? Well, carry on. That's all right. It's your fantasy goal as well.
Big Sol beats everybody and then takes it all the way back. He knocks it out wide to Hadji.
Oh yeah,
Hadji swings it all the way over to the other wing to Brian Laudrup
to shouts of switch it.
Switch.
Yeah,
Brian Laudrup, first touch, just a little loft back inside to Valderrama.
Yeah,
Valderrama draws the defenders and he slots me in for the ice cream.
Oh, there it is. Always going to be at the end.
Then the dance.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like I've let you guys down. Sorry, guys.
That's all right.
That's all right. Not to worry.
They'll do it again this season.
You haven't won the points, Pete.
Jim gets the points.
Jim hasn't done anything.
Luke, you've got the points.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's all right.
Yeah. Well done, Luke. You deserve that.
You didn't put yourself in there, and it was pure fantasy.
No, I'm the manager.
Is it?
and someone turns around and I go, training ground stuff.
would it change the points being awarded if I said that they beat Dimitri Karin in goal?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm going to get you more kudos.
And Segers.
You can only have one keeper.
It's an appeal, if anything.
Yeah.
Right, the Community Shield, the curtain opener, razor, rather, yeah. It happened. City were 2-0 up. United came back fantastically and won 3-2. What a game to get the season going, the Premier League going.
It was a super game, yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought that... Again, I think the City might have sort of struggled a little bit by making... Mancini does a great line in these sort of boring substitutions. He switched up a little bit and Balotelli ended up playing out on the left.
Yeah.
He then, of course, got subbed off. But I thought, well, bring Aguero on.
Yeah, that's right. I think everybody wanted to see it.
I don't know why you wouldn't give a showpiece signing a debut in that sort of low-pressure environment. It's a great occasion. He can enjoy himself. There's a full house there. Yeah. But it doesn't really matter if they don't win. You know, I mean, it's a bit of a shame against another Manchester team, of course. But Aguero's not going to be under immediate pressure. But he didn't feature at all, and I was just disappointed by it.
Well, I thought that's what Alex Ferguson did well with... Chicharito last year, of course, got his goal in off his face or whatever it was, and it was nice. He got him going and whatnot. Now that was quite sort of fairy tale stuff that he scored, but absolutely right with Aguero, and everybody wanted to see him. You know,
Sunday
at Wembley.
I just think the goalkeeping sort of, you would call them errors, just sort of flattered City a little bit. I don't think they were.
I agree.
I think the first 10 minutes, City looked really, really tasty. I thought, here we go, this is going to be fantastic, and it was a great spectacle. But by the time it got to half time, I think Alex Ferguson, I don't know what he did at half time, but they just came out a completely different team. They looked really focused, they looked really driven, they just seemed to run at the team.
Nice to see Ashley Young playing for United.
Yeah, he did settle in very well. You're right, Pete. I mean United arguably had the better of the first half and found themselves behind at half time. De Gea made one big error, arguably two errors. But he still made some good saves, aside from that. Mm. But it did flatter City a little bit. And also, United are this team who just never, and it sounds like a cliche because some cliches are true, they never know when they're beaten.
That's right.
And you bring someone like that Cleverley, who's hungry, young.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the thing about Cleverley is, and I'm sure you'll talk about him in the England squad in a minute, is he moves the ball on so quickly.
Yeah.
And he's almost like a real super modern midfielder. He gets the ball, gives it, moves again.
That's right.
Turns it over very quickly, a lot more quickly than sort of your Carrick and people like that.
Well, yeah, it was
and
nice.
And he was the real difference.
So maybe that was the sort of focus that we should be sort of applauding Alex Ferguson, the amount of young players he did play in the middle. And that, you look at that and you sort of think, they could be
around for a while,
For 10 years' time, we could be talking about them in the same breath as Beckham and Scholes and all the rest.
The average age was sort of early 20s, wasn't it? Around sort of 22 that finished the game for United.
And also, it was just nice to see at the press conference, they were just sort of a lot... They were quite sort of measured young men, I think, the way that they have held themselves in the press conference afterwards, the young lads. It was just nice to see. They weren't sort of like just coming out with the same old platitudes. I'm not going to say well-spoken, but they just gave a great press conference. I just think...
They weren't morons.
Yeah, they weren't absolute idiots, possibly.
Which we've been accustomed to. But it comes to that, doesn't it? It takes
a few morons to know some, that's why.
It comes to that modern era where we're going, they didn't sound like complete and utter tools.
Well, Rooney did pipe up with something a little bit on the line, which was we outclassed him again or something.
Yeah.
Which I mean may or may not have been true, but I mean
I think he likes to stir the pot, I guess.
I was well pleased when I just before a few days before the match I forgot it was City and United. Because the Community Shield, it can be okay and stuff. And I thought, oh, hang on a minute, it's those two. We're gonna see a proper game here.
Yeah. I liked it when Tevez rocked up at Man City's training ground this morning in a Humvee with a hooded sweatshirt with Tevez on the front. Trained for 20 minutes with Zabaleta, basically just mucked around for a bit, and then went home with his mate. Yeah, then went home again.
Yeah.
He's a future Maradona, that boy.
That's because the reason is because there's loads to do in Manchester, according to him. Yeah, he had to get on with it.
Exactly, he's off down the arcade. He's off down Laser Quest.
How many people are disrespectful to poor old Manchester?
I know.
I quite like Manchester, I think it's different.
I've only been once. That's embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll go again, it's good. Well, 11 out of the squad, of the England squad, to play Holland, of course, this week, are from the two Manchester clubs, Hart, Ferdinand, Lescott, Richards, Barry, Adam Johnson, Milner, Cleverley. Well done to him getting in there. Young, Rooney and Welbeck. Of course, Danny Welbeck.
Yeah, I like Welbeck as a player. I think he's learning. He seems to be learning by the game, really. And I think he's got the potential to be a really good player. And I'm pleased for Cleverley as well, because, like I said, it's encouraging to have an England player who's almost like a modern continental star midfielder.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to build him up too much because it's very early days yet, but like I say,
but he will win us the World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's at the right club, I think.
Yeah.
To be brought on.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
it's weird to see. We've got two goalkeepers playing the Championship. I know, obviously, Green Stockdale's on loan, but it's weird to sort of see we've only got one man.
I think though. You're right, but Hart's going to play every day, isn't he?
If he's
fit, Hart plays every day,
totally.
Doesn't he? You know,
indeed he will. Joey Barton won't be playing. Too dangerous.
No.
Too dangerous.
I sort of do agree with him not being in the England squad, but I didn't agree with the reasons that Capello gave, which were that he might get sent off or he's too dangerous. I think that the answer, surely, from a PR point of view, would be, well, there's no point playing someone like Barton because he's already of an age. He's not got a great experience.
He's 28.
Yeah, but he's not a great experience at international level. He'll be 29 by the time the next tournament comes around. You might as well give Cleverley a nod and get him minutes under his belt at international level.
And also, you're not sure whether Barton will play any actual competitive football for the next half.
He's training with the reserves at the moment. Yeah, exactly. Where's he going to be? You know.
Did you hear about Newcastle's final pre-season match against Fiorentina, Pete?
Well, I'd heard a bit of it on a hooky radio feed. There was no telly involved.
Abandoned after 63 minutes due to a massive downpour of rain.
Yeah, it was a bit of a joke.
You can't blame that on Ashley, can you?
I think it's sort of it sort of defined our sort of the end of our pre-season where just, you know,
what a total washout.
We just can't even finish a bloody football
this
match,
is now probably. Literally a washout, Richard.
As someone who did complete 90 minutes for the first time in 2 years was Jonathan Woodgate
90 minutes out of them smashed up peanut cracknel legs.
I bet he was properly chuffing himself.
See that
everyone.
Has he signed a full contract with
I think he's paid as you play.
I thought he with Spurs he turned his nose up at a pay-as-you-play deal with Spurs.
Yeah, because he's not going to get as many opportunities, that's why.
Oh, to pay as you play.
Because a part of the pay-as-you-play is you don't get paid unless you play.
It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I'd like to see him obviously feature. I think
he's 31, I think.
Yeah, but if he had...
In the squad.
Well, I'd still have Sol Campbell, as you know. Who knows? Jonathan Woodgate, ladies and gentlemen. Arsenal.
We've given up with him, haven't we?
Arsenal. They had a big bust up with Benfica in Lisbon, of course. Started by Robin Van Persie, a man who knows.
Well, in the absence of Jim, I'm going to stick up for RVP here.
Okay.
It was a dreadful challenge in a friendly. Yeah. And I think he was within his rights. He was within his rights to say, look, come on.
Yeah.
And but I mean, obviously, it skittled a little bit out of control. It wasn't too bad, but it did sort of boil over a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was good to see Pablo Aymar score for Benfica as well.
Oh, always good to see Aymar score.
Absolutely.
Arsenal, they're not having a good pre-season, are they? Well, it's finished. That's one positive, I suppose. but they've been given a tricky tie in the Champions League preliminary round against Udinese, who finished fourth in Serie A, of course. Now, I'm sorry, Arsenal fans, but had you finished third last year?
It's not their fault. They just support them.
Well, I say that. No, I jest, of course. Wenger said he's been having sleepless nights about Arsenal season.
Well, I think
he's gone off.
What is happening here? I mean, he's obviously the Fabregas saga carries on, which will carry on until he is signed by Barcelona. But Wenger said, I don't want to speak about the Fabregas transfer. I love Fabregas and I want him to stay.
Henri and I want him to play last week in the Emirates.
On the Udinese thing, I mean, it's a very, very difficult opener for them. I mean, Udinese have lost Alexis Sanchez, of course, and they've also lost Inla, who's class. He's gone to Napoli. But they've still got, I mean, look, some of the players they've got. They've got Di Natale, who's been the top scorer in Serie A for the last two seasons. He's got 57 goals in the last two turns.
Have they still got Oliver Bierhoff?
No, unfortunately not, but Wenger will be interested. He's a Wenger type of player.
Exactly.
He has brought in Jenkins, though. So,
yeah, that's true.
He's brought in Jenkins and Jovinho. And they've also, of course, signed Chamberlain from Southampton, who's highly rated.
Yeah, but I completely understand needing to buy players and keep investing in youth and stuff like that, and I applaud Arsenal for doing that.
He's been doing that for 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. But I can understand why you'd be frustrated with Arsenal. But just to stay on the Udinese thing, one thing I want to say before we go off is that they beat some great sides last season. I mean, they beat Inter like 3-1 in the league last season. They've got potential to upset Arsenal here.
Yeah.
And I think Arsenal will probably just shade it, but Udinese have got every chance. And that'll be disastrous for Arsenal to go out of the Champions League at that stage.
The problem I find with Arsenal, certainly this close season, has been that the bosses upstairs have constantly said he's got money, he's got money. Why say that if you know he's not going to spend it?
You're just
hanging him out to dry.
And of course it was disastrous for Rangers. They're out.
Poor discipline let them down, didn't it? They had a chance. I said to you after the first leg, I said to you, I texted you and I said they're going to struggle now, and you said you thought they might be alright.
Well, 1-0 up, you know, they still should have probably won that game. I mean, they're two sendings off.
Yeah,
you know,
as I recall, 3-1 to them in the second leg was a pretty good price, and I was thinking I might start my betting career. I'm thinking I get that.
Career optimistic.
But yeah, they go into the Europa League now. Have you seen who Spurs are up against in the preliminary round?
Yeah,
the magnificent Gorgie boys. Oh, it's Hearts. Now, Hearts have had a disastrous start to the SPL, as we all know. And I said they'd win the league. I didn't say which league. Could it be the Europa? Could they do what Fulham couldn't?
Dearie me.
I'm going to say, I'm going to, for once, be on the side of the listeners and say no. They can't.
They can dream.
Are you going to go? You'll go along with you?
I think it will be sold out now.
Dream ticket, isn't it?
Yeah.
More chance of going to Willy Wonka's factory, aren't you, hey?
Fulham, Stoke, Birmingham and Celtic, they're all still in the mix.
We're getting Europe. Beautiful.
My goodness. Briefly going back to the Premier League, Chelsea have signed Lukaku, the Belgian. Highly rated.
The man is a human weapon.
Top scorer in the Belgian league at 16.
Yeah, I heard.
I know we've all heard that, but let's say it again. It's unbelievable.
It's a shorter league, isn't it, as I recall? Is it a slightly shorter?
It's impressive.
He's a mountain of a man, Pete.
Fair enough, Pete, but 16.
It's funny. In the Belgian league. I'm going to come right back at you with the word Belgium.
Come on.
He's 16 years old, Pete. Can you remember what you were like when you were 16?
I was wicked.
You were working in the zoo at 16, weren't you? You were wearing those stupid shorts that were too big for you.
What do you mean? Nothing wrong. I should leave my shorts alone.
I was going to say, leave off the shorts.
This is not the forum.
What I was going to say about Chelsea signing Lukaku is that it looked like they were going to move Drogba on, but then towards the end of the last season, he started to pick up a bit.
Yeah.
And if you look at who they've got up front now, I mean, okay, Torres has been a bit out of form, but he has scored pre-season. You've got Torres, Drogba, Anelka, Kalou, Sturridge, Lukaku and Kakuta.
Yeah.
And there's been unending talk of Falcao coming from Porto as well to work under Villas-Boas again.
Yep.
For me, that is a massive array of strikers. And he's got...
David Luiz will probably fancy it by the
end of the season. Luiz
that's a Tottenham Hotspurs of strikers. They're going to have to move a couple on. Either put, I don't know, Sturridge on loan. You know,
yeah, if you're choosing a fantasy football team, don't go for a Chelsea.
But there's talk of Torres just being left on the bench and going with Drogba, apparently.
Yeah, but Lukaku's not going to play every week now. I think he's got the physicality and the pace and just the sheer power for the Premier League.
I just fear for such a young player going to Chelsea.
Well, he doesn't play and stuff.
Because the manager's only there for a year, you know, right? Where are you going to learn your trade from 16?
That's a fair point.
The other thing I want to say about Chelsea on the Villas-Boas is that they tend to use sort of three, or and at Porto they used three up front, didn't they? Sort of two slightly wider strikers, which then means you've got to bring Malouda into play as well. So that's another body you've got to accommodate. So it'd be interesting to see what he does.
Well, yeah, I mean, with your 4-4-2, I mean, Torres prefers to be the lone striker. I think Drogba probably prefers to be the main striker, and they're the two biggest names.
He's not going to play a 4-4-2, though, is he?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so.
No.
So, yeah, interesting to see.
When in Rome.
When in Roman. I don't know if I've got that right or not. And we must say as well that Arsenal, Joel Campbell, the Costa Rican wonder kid.
Yeah.
I think they look as though they've got him for about £900,000.
How old is he, Marcus?
19.
Yeah. Another body they definitely need.
Another man with tons of experience. The Premier League starts this coming weekend. Just a few fixtures that we've highlighted. Swansea, tough trip away to Man City on the Monday night.
Yeah, they wouldn't have wanted that, would they?
No.
They'd like to ease themselves in, I think, but that's very, very tough.
Yeah, yeah. Newcastle, 3 points at home to Arsenal.
I reckon they might go 4-0 down.
They've got Aubameyang, the most popular midfielder Alex Ferguson's ever had.
I don't think he's that bad, Aubameyang. He needs to play.
He likes a step over.
Yeah, he does.
He likes a trick and he likes to knock it past a player, but he plays with the ball too far away from him, I think. I just don't.
Which is always
a problem.
It
scares me a bit.
He's not a Champions League quality player at the moment, but no. I think he'd be all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I think Liverpool at home to Sunderland would be an interesting one.
A lot of new personnel there, isn't
there?
Did you watch the Carroll almost getting sent off again?
Valencia,
yeah. I didn't see that, no.
To the 2-0.
What did he do?
He went in like a freight train.
Like a Newcastle, ex-Newcastle player.
He's talking about
did he go in like a big market Barstool?
Did he get the ponytail into it?
He just dived into the player. This is kind of like it was so unnecessary. It was like Vassell's at the weekend, but it was like, kind of, I'm sure you'll come on to that. But if Capello's talking about discipline, up top, Rooney and bloody Andy Carroll.
Imagine that, Barton
as well. Christ,
tell you
feeding
what, if
the beasts.
But if you were going to play Carroll up front, there would be an argument.
Barton had most of Carroll's assists.
I'd love to see Joe Barton in the squad.
I'm not against him being in the squad. All I'm saying is the rationale for him not being picked is because it's a little bit pointless long term. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, Scott Parker, you could set up the same argument.
Yeah, but Parker, maybe, but Parker's. a slightly different player.
Okay, fair enough. We don't have too many players like Parker. In the side, now the Championship did kick off.
Mm.
Kenny Miller and Cardiff, a great result there.
Absolutely sucker punched.
Wasn't it just? You could see the way Miller celebrated. He was like a cheeky school kid, wasn't he?
Yeah. The one thing I'd say about West Ham is I saw the game and they actually started off like quite nicely. They played pretty well. But yeah. I mean,
it was a tough game against Cardiff.
It was chucking it down.
It was.
And
yeah.
To be fair, I mean, Green should be doing much better with that. Yeah. It slipped through his hands.
I'll caveat saying they started off well with a few reasons.
Yeah.
Namely, Green, Nolan, Parker, Carlton, Cole, Taylor, Piquion, Carew, O'Neill, Noble, Fye, Collison, Tompkins.
Yeah.
That is a phenomenal Championship squad. Now, I know some of those players didn't play. And
Parker, Piquion, and Nolan in particular linked up really,
they played
really well.
Really well. But what happened was, after a certain amount of time, they just ran out of ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, it was almost like they resorted to something. You know, I don't want to be, you know, get on Allardyce's back already, but it was almost like, because of who Allardyce is, you're much more prone to be looking for that sort of style of football coming into it.
Yeah.
And it certainly did come into it sort of after they ran out of ideas after the first sort of initial half an hour.
What we need is a set piece, lads.
Yeah. But I mean, with Allardyce, I just get the sense that, you know, he made Bolton play that a certain kind of football for quite a while. And so surely that he must be able to instill a sense of patience in them.
But what Allardyce will probably say in his defence is that I'm a pragmatist. I use the players I've got to the best way I can.
Mm.
And you know, I suppose what I'm trying to say is some of the players he's got at West Ham means he might actually be able to play a little bit more progressively, perhaps.
At this point in the season, he's probably just pushing in his cryogenic beds that he has into the training.
Yeah. His pros are in their shopping trips to Sainsbury's at the moment.
Yeah. It's a tough start to the season, you know, against a good Championship side. You've got to pick yourself up. You're not in the Premier League anymore.
Yeah.
It was a sucker punch in the last minute.
Yeah,
West Ham will pick themselves up from that. Brighton had a great start.
The atmosphere at that new Amex Stadium looked amazing.
Well, it's nice to see Brighton in a proper stadium.
I really wanted to be there.
You know, a city like that, nice to see a club in the Championship. You know, that's the kind of level they were. Because I remember Brighton were always way down in the out of the Football League. Yeah. And then they were...
Well, it's testament to Tony Bloom coming in, just sort of going, right.
Absolutely right.
Come on.
It's just nice to see a chairman who loves the club and is willing to back it.
Is it fair to say that it went to Poirier's head? He got sent off after about 20 minutes. He's going mad about some decision involving a dive.
Well,
and he got sent to the stands.
He's back in the big leagues.
And Brighton have strengthened as well. I mean, Craig McHale-Smith looked pretty live. I mean, he missed a couple of chances.
Yeah,
but Doncaster were poor last season, so it would have been a surprise had they won that game.
Yeah. Aren't they going to put like a lot of new seats in at the end of the season?
Oh, is that right? They're going to extend it, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Well, I think the stadium obviously it's a modern stadium, so it's a bit out of the way, I think. Mm. So they've got the option.
Yeah, it's in Farmer, yes.
So apparently the sound's amazing. Like,
oh, is that right?
It looks great.
Like Poirier himself actually said that it is the first time he's heard Brighton sound so good, you know, like the supporters.
That's a
particular.
Dig. That's a dig.
But the last stadium, there was a running track around, isn't there?
Yeah. That's what I mean. They've been knocked about from pillar to post, and just seeing the smiles on everyone's faces, it didn't really matter what was.
Oh,
hey.
But I mean, and also, by the way, scoring the winner in the 8th minute of injury time has got to be pretty sweet as well. In your first league game in your new stadium.
Beautiful.
You're having that.
Right then, Sven's Leicester. 1-0 against Coventry. Darius Vassell was sent off after 11 minutes for an outrageous tackle.
A striker's challenge.
Come on, Bennett.
Two flayed on the centre circle.
That was outrageous. But a great win for them. And that was the first red card of the Football League season.
The weird thing was, Coventry sort of really tried to go for goal as well. And they were in the ascendancy for a long time after that. But before they got sent off. But
Sven knows.
Oh, now what about Portsmouth?
Yeah, it was a good point.
They've got through their pre-season woes. An injury time equaliser away at Middlesbrough. They only had four subs on the bench.
Yeah, they couldn't fill the bench again. Yeah, there's still time to strengthen. We've got a little bit of financial backing now, so Portsmouth might be able to strengthen with a few more bodies before the end of August, hopefully.
Three goals with just great examples of the strikers turn and shoot.
Yeah,
the goals were actually quite good, but Portsmouth did bully Middlesbrough a little bit. They sort of strong-armed them a bit. But I mean, sometimes you've got to do that, especially in that league and away from home as
Someone
well.
Was calling you out on the forum, weren't they, Luke?
Yeah, I got held personally responsible for Portsmouth's tactics. Which is a new one.
Riverside
was completely empty again. That's nice to see. Yeah, on the first. If you can't bloody fill your stadium on the first bloody day of the season
against a club the size of Portsmouth, that is box office stuff.
Yeah.
For the first game.
It's disappointing. But I mean, you know what are you going to do?
It was raining.
What? It's Middlesbrough.
Also, I thought one of my favourite goals of the weekend was Gary Taylor-Fletcher's for Blackpool beating Hull 1-0 away. Great result for them.
I think he might get a few goals this season.
I thought you were going to say a few caps.
No, he won't get caps. No, no, no.
That'd be interesting. Let's go down to League Two, because Paolo Di Canio, Swindon Town, won 3-0 against Crewe.
Di Canio is sitting around in a massive leather chair at the moment going, this is easy. I don't know what you're worried about.
Wonderfully animated.
I can imagine him leading a chorus with the fans. Easy, yeah. Easy.
But maybe with a little sort of racist undertone.
I wouldn't like to go there.
nice suit he had on as well. I mean, I want to see him do well, but I just get the sneaking suspicion it's going to be another Maradona.
No, what will happen is, I'll predict now Di Canio will have Swindon top of the league by Christmas, won every single game, and he'll have a massive bust up over something like the brand of like coffee they're using in the cafe, and just walk out, never to be seen again. And then Swindon will get someone like Paul Ince in. That's what will happen.
Paul Jewell.
Yeah, but Paul Jewell's at Ipswich. What are you talking about? He's done brilliant.
Megson.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. 3-0 up. Well, they won 3-0 the weekend. Michael Chopra getting a couple. Mm. Lovely.
Oh, that was Ipswich, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah, well, back into the Championship. Yeah. Chopra, the two on his debut, I think that was.
Yeah,
was. A couple of other leagues have started around Europe. Ligue 1, of course, in France. Over-exaggeration on the pronunciation there. Paris Saint-Germain lost at home 1-0 to Lorient.
Yeah, the club that Gamero signed for them from.
Yeah.
But Pastore didn't play, did he?
No, he was paraded. But that's a bad start for them. They've spent a lot of money, the Qatari-backed club nil.
I think it's more people panic because it's the first game of the season and they're at home and stuff like that, but I really don't see any problem there at all. It's a long way to go. It's whether the owners are patient as well, you know.
Mm. And in Germany, Bayern Munich lost their opening game of the season to Borussia Mönchengladbach. Terrible start for them.
Yeah, Neuer had a rush of blood. It was always going to happen under the pressure.
It's such a shame for him. He made a great save early on, but was at fault with the second goal. But Ter Stegen, I think that's pronounced, in goal for Borussia Mönchengladbach. He had a great game.
Yeah, Bayern.
Only 19.
But I mean,
maybe Schalke should sign him.
Bayern Munich got like a bit of a harsh write-up on a couple of things I read, but from what I saw, they had loads of chances.
Yeah, it was just one of those days.
I can remember decent chances for Gomez, Robin, Ribery, and Müller.
Hmm. Well, Ter Stegen had a great game in goal.
Yeah.
Needed to.
Yeah. And Neuer, it's worth saying, by the way, Neuer did make one or two decent saves.
Yeah, in the first half, he made a fantastic save.
And it was funny because the mistake that Neuer made was also in cahoots with Boateng. He's also a brand new signing.
Dear. For old time's sake, in the Bundesliga second tier, FC St Pauli got off to a winning start, 3-1 winners.
They're back up. Are you backing them?
Well, I've got it, haven't I?
If we were doing a German second division prediction,
Frankfurt. the Spanish league hasn't kicked off, of course, but there has been another signing there. Real Madrid have signed a 7-year-old Argentinian, apparently. He goes by the name of Leo, Lionel Angel Correa.
What position is he?
Left-footed right winger?
In the hole.
I've no idea.
Who knows at that age?
But they've signed him, and he'll begin training on the 6th of September. He's 7!
Training?
Yeah. So
they're going to have to install one of those little baby toilets in the toilets. Yeah. I worry.
One of the lower urinals?
Yeah.
Mm. You consider everything, don't you?
I do.
Apparently, little Leo says he prefers to provide the pass rather than score. That'll change as you get older,
son.
Now, in a huge contrast, we go to Italy, who are often criticised for having older players knocking around there. There's an amateur team who have signed a 69-year-old goalkeeper. I think this is true. I mean, it's very little information knocking around for this, but Lamberto Baranga, who played for, amongst others, Perugia and Fiorentina.
Oh, he's an ex-pro then?
Oh, yeah, he's a proper player. He played for Perugia and Fiorentina in the 60s. Cesena and Parma in the 70s.
Is he Carney's grandson?
He's still got a magnificent head of hair, tell you.
Yeah,
Lamberto Baranga. Make sure you Google
that. Who's he signed for?
Well, he signed for Papiano, I think they're called. He did play more recently, perhaps, for the lesser-known Bastardo in the 90s.
That's not a real team, though, is it?
It's a town, apparently. Bastardo's a hero.
That's like a superhero's nemesis.
Yeah. He's playing for a team called Bastard. Yeah. You know? Perhaps that club got together when they didn't have owners. He did play for one amateur match in 2009-2010 for Ameto, but yeah, yeah, he's been signed. He said, the physical condition is still here. I will train in peace. I quite like that.
I don't believe it. I mean, I'm not being disrespectful to him. He's obviously an athlete and a player in his day. But he's 6 or 9 years old.
We occasionally used to play five-a-side against a fella who, he was 65 and over, heading towards 70 anyway.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to go near him because it was just kind of like, he used to wear like those sort of safety goggles that he got from work so he didn't smash his glasses. But it was just like, you didn't want to go near him because it was like, I didn't want to be responsible for a crack knee.
Oh, what about the elbow?
For your knee?
I'm bad enough.
Yeah. What about the old boy in the 70s? We did this ages ago on the Rail Ball. The oldest winger in town.
Oh, yeah, he was like 85 or something.
What was his name? It was like Grant Leadbottom or something. Wasn't it? Willie something or other. Yeah. He's a great old English seven. He was in the 70s.
But a lead bottom will help, to be fair.
Yeah. I think it has
to. If only to propel you with inertia.
Low centre of gravity.
Have you seen the clips? I think it's Juan Pablo Angel's kid.
Yeah, he's decent.
He's really young. And he's like, he just takes on everyone. He's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
He's absolutely incredible. And genuinely, I rewound the tape, just to check out how he struck a ball to see if I could do the same.
What were you watching it on tape?
I was watching it on YouTube. But I was doing an impression of Tim Roth in the recently cancelled Lie to Me.
Now then, good people, we don't do many features on this show, but by Jovi, it's a new season and we've got a new one for you. Hit it.
Going for gold. Gold. There we go.
Hey!
What a jingle. I hope it lives up to the jingle.
I almost guarantee it will. Going for gold. Just like the TV show with Mr. Henry Kelly, I drip feed you two little so-and-sos wee tidbits of information. In turn, when you think you've identified the player in question, because that's the business of what this game is all about, we're identifying players, people. Just shout stop, and then you can take your turn in identifying. Ooh, all right?
Okay. And the person because it's no Jim, it's just me versus Marcus.
Yeah, it's just you versus Marcus. I mean, obviously it'll get a little bit better when Jim gets here, but who knows?
Come on.
With his wild accusations.
I'm worried that the jingle's so good that it's not going to live up to it, but hopefully it will.
Save your worrying.
First clue, gentlemen.
Yes.
There's only 10, 11 clues, so, you know, you've got to be pretty pissy in this. I was born September 12th, 1957 in Mansfield, Nottinghamshire.
10 years before the Summer of Love.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've ever said that.
Yeah.
Nottinghamshire.
I won the FA Cup in 1987.
Stop. Keith Houchen.
No, Mark.
Oh.
I served as a police officer in my hometown. I started my career at Chesterfield.
Stop.
I reached... Who was it?
Steven Grusovic.
Yes, it is! Steven Grusovic!
Marcus was the inaugural going for gold.
Oh my word. The clues you could have had were to get my final playing contract I had to give up smoking. In 2003 it was falsely reported that I'd been kidnapped in Kazakhstan. I played 601 times for one club. I played in goal. I am Steve Grzovic, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice. Steve Grzovic. A beautiful footballer. Yeah.
Very messy nose.
My goodness. That is the type of player that would just never have played in the modern era. Do you know
what he's smoking for?
Well, another one of those next week, Pete, I would imagine.
Yeah, did you enjoy that? Is that all right? If it stays? I mean, if you don't like it.
I didn't have as much input as I'd like.
you should have got in.
87, I knew it was Coventry.
87, that would be Coventry,
I thought
it?
He was going
I knew it was Coventry, but I couldn't think of any of their players.
Yeah, but I thought he was going Keith Houchen as a Hartlepool link.
Yeah, fair enough.
But he didn't.
No.
And that moves us neatly on to emails.
Thank you for your email, lady.
Luke, you've got the first one.
Yes, I have. This is from Chris Rezkowski. He says, all right, lads, just got back from the Fulham RNK split game. Mm. An honourable mention must go to the RNK split subs, who spent the half-time interval taking free kicks while the keeper made over-the-top saves. Five more minutes and they'd have had a solid game of Wembley knockout.
Well, it would have been cottage knockout, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. If making ridiculous dives wasn't enough for the keeper, he broke up two scorpion kicks, clearing one over the bar but sending one into the back of the net.
Oh, so it went behind him. He needs work on
that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is why the preliminary round of the Europa League exists.
Specifically.
Exactly. Just stuff like this.
Chris goes on to say, as the gaffers came back out, they ran off like misbehaving school kids.
Brilliant.
Keep up the good work. Cheers, Chris.
Nice one, Chris.
Yeah, yeah, very good.
I enjoyed that immensely.
It goes to show that even John Pansel's left the Craven Cottage, there's still fun to be had.
Yeah, they're buying it in.
Wonderful.
I've got an email from Tina.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that your new girlfriend, Pete, is it?
Hello, says Tina. Your section in the Ramble about Thiago and his dad reminded me of another, admittedly rather less successful and less glamorous, father-son pair. Oh, yeah. My ex played for Blackpool circa 2001 when Steve McMahon was the manager. Steve's son, Steve Jr., was signed to the club and was widely felt by the existing players to be absolute shite.
It's funny how that works, isn't it? Yeah.
He hardly ever played but was always on the bench and the payroll. One Saturday, the game being televised, my ex was on the bench and with half an hour to go, Steve announced that he was putting his son on. He shook his lad by the hand and said, "Go on, son, get out there, look mad busy and run around a lot, but whatever you do, do not go near the ball." The McMahon duo both ended up at Perth Glory. Funny coincidence how they all ended up at the same club. Tina, that is excellent.
I'm alleging that his dad's just trousering the appearance bonus.
Do you reckon, yeah?
Look mad busy.
That's great.
Don't go mad busy.
Okay, yeah, brilliant.
You should play table football or something.
Oh, that is enjoyable.
Oh, it's profile time. We're here. And we have another wonderful man for you. This man turns 38 this week, and he's still going strong. It's the evergreen Javier Zanetti.
Oh, one of these boys who still is a rare beast. He's in the Dean Winners Hall of Fame in a minute, and he's still playing.
Yeah.
The tractor.
I'd be gutted if that was my nickname.
You'd look like it should be on
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
With your big
beard. You'd think a bit of a clogger.
He's played over 1,000 senior games and his nickname's the tractor. Disappointing.
Tractors don't go very fast. Speedboat, at least.
The speedboat.
The juggernaut, do you know what I mean? Something of...
The Segway.
Well, indeed. Of course, he was born on the 10th of August, 1973.
6 years... after the summer of love.
After?
Yeah. No. Doesn't happen very often, I'm telling you.
Hark at that. Now, we have a number of Argentinians in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame already. Of course we do. Another one is still playing, of course, Raquel, mate. Because in Argentina have produced many great players over the years and will continue to do so, I promise you that. But this man, Mr. Javier Zanetti, has more international caps than any of them. Not put together, that would be crazy. 145 international appearances to his name. He's Argentina's most capped player. That is an achievement.
It's an accolade in itself. You cast your mind back through the pantheon of great.
And he missed two recent World Cups.
Well, you're going to come on to the 2010 World Cup squad in a minute. Yeah. And that was a disgrace.
Let me
get that in early. I'm sitting on my hands here. Because that was a disgrace.
Dear, oh dear. Started his career in 1991.
Bloody hell, I think so did I.
With lower league Argentinian side Talleres. Excuse me. But he was soon after a season there playing for Banfield in the Argentinian top league. And he was excellent then for a few seasons. His efforts were certainly turning heads. Boca, River, all those kind of lads interested in. But so were some of the European sides, most notably Inter.
Can I just say he was born with a side parting?
He was.
Wasn't he?
You love that side parting.
That's great. I heard that he doesn't even let his kids touch his hair.
Shut up.
That's what I heard. I think Sheridan Bird, Italian football journalist, told me that.
Is it right?
Doesn't even let his kids touch his hair.
It's been formed like a sort of like a natural sort of phenomenon. Just forwards. Just the parting.
But at the same time, it reminds me a bit of Mount Rushmore. Like it's been sculpted in.
Is that right?
Yeah, you know, like some women have their makeup tattooed on. He's had that sculpted
Do
in.
You know something? When I was a kid, and, you know, I have a bit of a sort of half-hearted centre parting thing going on here. But my parents said I had that right from the off, and they used to call me the maestro because I had a little.
The maestro.
Oh my god, that's worse than my mate Ali making his little baby sisters call him Mr. Rock and Roll.
So hang on a minute, I never made that. Was just a little, you know, that
the maestro
orchestrating the family.
Zanetti. Zanetti, please. That's what I've come for.
Forgive me, everybody. In 1995, he moved to Inter and became Massimo Moratti, who's still Inter's owner. He became his first signing, and they're both still there.
He started off well.
He's a
chuff with that one.
Imagine that. Of course, he started playing for Inter. The fans soon started calling him the tractor as he worked tirelessly up and down the flanks.
In a way, it's a nice
nickname. It's reliable, reliability, strength, all that kind of stuff.
In a way, it's a nice nickname because the connotations are, you know, it's a very important part of the farm. Yeah. You know, it does all the important work, you know, and it does suit him in a way. I just find it initially a little bit disrespectful as a nickname.
He would just bomb forwards relentlessly.
Yeah. Or the South American fullback.
Wait,
can you imagine a farm without a tractor?
No. I don't want to be a part of a world in which a farm doesn't include a tractor.
He's the Alves blueprint.
Yeah, he is.
That's what I said, Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an argument. Now, not long after his move there, he was playing for Argentina in the Olympics in 1996, won the silver medal.
Yeah.
You know. Then, of course, at the 98 World Cup, he reached the quarterfinals with Argentina after going out to Holland in a fantastic match there. Dennis Bergkamp and all that.
Yeah, he scored the goal.
That's right. He did score a lovely goal against England.
Veron's through ball and a free kick.
A little free kick and in the top corner finish.
In the second round of the 98 World Cup, yeah.
That's the one. Now, back at Inter, he was becoming one of the fans' favourites, as we said, for reliability, solid performances. Seldom does the man put a foot wrong. He's one of those players, just trust.
Plays in multiple positions as well.
As well, yeah. He gained the captaincy after one of Italy's all-time great defenders hung up his boots, Giuseppe Bergami, and became known as the captain to the fans. I think that's quite a standard nickname.
Yeah.
To the captain.
It's probably on the team sheet as well, to be fair.
You work it out. And Zanetti is the only man behind Bergami in Inter's all-time record appearance holders. He is loved by those fans. He really is.
Yeah, he's the only non.
He has the most appearances in Serie A
for a
non-Italian player.
Yeah.
Which is an incredible achievement considering some of the greats they've had there and the longevity of some of those guys. Now, it was a lovely touch that on his 700th appearance for the club, he won the Champions League beating Bayern Munich in the final, which in 2010, of course.
I loved it in a number of years ago when Maicon came in. They signed Maicon and everyone was sort of thinking, oh, is that the end of Zanetti now? Nah, move him into midfield. He's going forward as he gets older. I'm telling you, in 5 years' time, he's going to be a striker.
He is. Oh, my goodness. I think it's worth mentioning, in the semi-final of that successful Champions League campaign against Barcelona, he did a great job in helping nullify Messi in the semi-final, particularly at the home leg at the San Siro. He was specifically assigned to that task. You know.
What about the goal he got in the UEFA Cup final?
Oh.
Against Lazio, was it?
In 97-98 season.
Yeah.
When they won 3-0, that was his first one out of two European trophies for Inter. Yeah, a magnificent strike.
You'll not see a ball hit more sweeter than that off the bar.
They beat Lazio 3-0. I think it was in France.
Yeah.
The final. Ronaldo scored the third. I think Zamorano got the first. But it's worth a YouTube.
A pinger.
It's an absolute beauty.
He's also never been sent off in 1,000 games.
Is that right?
Never had a sending off.
Huge.
No.
Only a few yellow cards.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
Indeed. So I think it's worth pointing out as well that he's won 5 league titles, 4 Italian Cups, anyway, for a couple of calls with Inter. Let's move on to the international stuff. He played, we said, 98, 2002. They didn't have a very good showing there out in the first round. Missed out in 2006, which didn't go down well with the Argentinians. They couldn't understand it. And then in 2010, El Diego himself overlooked him, which was a silly move.
Well, he didn't pick Cambiaso either.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
They won the Champions. Those two players were big.
Do yourself a favour.
He was felt like Jonas at left back, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
And didn't he picked Ariel Garcia as well. He was like 30, he had like two caps or something. He didn't feature at all in the World Cup.
San Martin.
Yeah, but come on, that's all right.
Yeah, he did score.
He didn't pick San Martin ahead of Zanetti, you know.
Well, you never know. He could play up front. He played the recent Copa America, which... It shows he's still got it.
So what we're saying is that if the gods were just,
yes,
he would have played a few more games at 2006 and 2010, so he'd have even more caps.
He'd have featured, yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed, he would have done. He set a club record of consecutive appearances at Inter, 137 in 3 seasons after their kind of default Serie A win in 2006. 137 games.
The other thing that brings it into perspective, just going back to his international career quickly, is that he won his 100th cap for Argentina in 2005. He's still playing.
And 2006, 2010, the big events.
It's one of those things where it's just like, his whole, if he looks back over his career and you sort of say, what was your highlight, it must all be a blur, because the colours will be the exact same colours
the whole time.
The blues.
That's right. Someone needs, he loves a striped jersey.
Someone needed to grab Diego and go, he's got over 100 caps. Yeah. He's brilliant.
Champions League.
He's just won the Champions League.
Yeah.
He's just won the treble. No, I'm not interested. I don't want him. I don't need him.
We're fine at the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. Outside of football, he owns a restaurant called El Gaucho near Lake Como.
Great steak.
Delightful.
Oh, nice spot, yeah.
Must be. He's had a crack at singing, I think that's what you call it. He duetted with Mina on a track, Parole, Parole.
What is it about Argentinian players and a bit of the old sing-song?
Let them.
They love it. They love it.
Let them.
Yeah. Tevez loves a bit of a dance, doesn't
Follow
he?
Your heart.
He's also a man of charity work, set up a foundation with his wife to provide education, amongst other necessities, to some of the kids in Argentina who were left in poverty after the country's economic crash in 2001.
Good man.
Good man all around. But we'll finish on a stat and a quote about Zanetti. On May, as you said, alluded to Luke earlier, on May the 10th, 2011, he completed his 1,000th professional game. And I'll leave the last words to Jose Mourinho when he said, I knew that he was a force of nature, but I didn't realise to what extent. They must have got the date wrong on his passport.
There he comes.
Javier Zanetti, ladies and gentlemen. Must
worthy.
Come in.
Worthy.
And entrance. He's still going strong.
Yeah, he'll whip him into shape.
Still going strong. Well, that's the end of the Football Ramble this week. I hope you had a lovely time. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com. Luke, what's going on?
Yes, in Jim's absence, I'm happy to fill you in. Dermot Corrigan admires billionaires Malaga's quiet movement in the transfer market. There really are a team to watch this season. They've signed Cazorla, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Jeremy Toulalon, Buonanotte, Joaquin.
That's a decent set of
signings. Yeah, it's not bad, is it? So they might do something this season in La Liga. The indefatigable Andy Top Brass Brassel is talking about the Champions League draw. Our man James Appel in Eastern Europe and Russia talks about Rubin Kazan. On the forum, as I said earlier, someone holding me personally responsible for Pompey's tactics against Middlesbrough. That's worth a look. And there was another thread which caught my eye, which was favourite or memorable brawls.
Right.
Inter Valencia got a nod. Remember that one?
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously the infamous Boya Dyer incident. And coming soon on the website, we're going to be rolling out minute by minute coverage of games, which will be great if you can't watch the game in question. And we'll have all new pick live on the site as well. So check out that as soon as it's out.
What's going on?
Yeah, we'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah. I've seen it minute by minute. It's good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
There's the endorsement it needed.
I'll put that on the quote underneath. Pretty good, Pete Donaldson.
There it is. Right, so that gives me just about enough time to say cheerio, Pete.
Sayonara.
Cheerio, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. And as Ray Wilkins said at the weekend, isn't it great to have football back?
No, because we're better than that. We are better than that. Not much.
We're not.
But a little
we're
bit.
We're nowhere near it.
We're a little bit better than that.
We're three pigmen in a room.
If it had been a pump, I'll let you.
If it had been a pump. Tú siempre igual, tú siempre igual, tú siempre igual. No quisiera hablar. Siempre igual. Pero tú eres la frase de amor empezada y nunca terminada. No cambiarás, no cambiarás, no cambiarás. Tú eres mi ayer y mi hoy. Nunca más. Mi siempre y mi inquietud. Stupendo di Zanetti. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.